Christian greetings to each one. Glad to be here this morning. Glad for the opportunity to meet with those of like precious faith. Look into God's Word. Enjoyed the service thus far. The devotions, Brother Jerry's devotions, Sunday school are, and Brother Darrell's. And before I get into the message, I'm thinking there about question two yet on in the adult class. What reasons supported the claims of Joshua and Caleb? And Brother Roy shared kind of the big picture, the promise, and that was God's plan right from the beginning, that they would, these people, the Israelites, would go into the promised land. And so that was sort of the big picture, and apparently they couldn't grasp that, some of them. But it seemed, you know, looking back, they couldn't even grasp maybe the small picture, because the Lord had been sustaining them right up until that point, and from leaving Egypt right up to where they were. So there was numbers of reasons, I think, that Josh and Caleb had to believe that they could conquer this land. Also thought about the idea that it's pretty easy for us to look back and see where they failed and how they should have, the choices they should have made and didn't. But I wonder if they would be able to look forward, people back then would be able to look forward and see the choices we're making and the doubts and fears that we have. What would it look like to them? Maybe it would look about as unreasonable to them as it does to us looking back. So it's a challenge to me to take God at his word. All right. First, maybe a bit of review. So, several weeks ago, we had this on display, and Brother Doug said it was a tractor, and Brother Wesley, I think, said it was a Ford. And what else did we determine that it was? Lauren? Okay. Yes, it was a Jubilee. And that was to help us remember the year of Jubilee. Back in the old economy and Old Testament, every 50 years there was a year of Jubilee, and if there was the Jewish people, if the Hebrew people were in servanthood, that was a year that they would be set free. And if they had lost their property through various situations, if they had lost their property, that would be returned to them. So it was a happy time, because it was a time of being set free and getting things back to where they had been. And we determined, I think, it was a few weeks ago, that this year, this today, every day can be the year of Jubilee for us. We can have freedom. We can choose freedom from bondage of sin and Satan. So what I would like to think about today is, what are we going to do since we are free? Since we have made that choice. I'm glad also for Vince that he made that choice. So this is his year of Jubilee. He is free from sin and Satan now, and all of us that have made that choice. So what are we going to do? What's Vince going to do from here away? What am I going to do since we're free from the bondage of sin and Satan? What are we doing with our life now? Those of us that have been around a little while and have worked with different people, and we know that in our culture, many times when a person has been incarcerated and is set free, maybe they have served their time and they've been released from prison, too often they eventually wind up back in prison. And it's sad, but that's the case. We don't want that to happen to us spiritually. We don't want Vince, we don't want anybody to go back into bondage. Luke 11, 23-26 says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. This is very sad, but it's true to life. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to have a purpose in life. We need to be asking, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Why did God put me here? Why did he put me here when he did? Why am I in Middle Georgia in 2018? Am I here by happenstance? Or as luck would have it? No, we are here because God put us here, and he did so for a reason. So what is the reason? What is the purpose of life? So, this tractor is a Fords and Major. Fords and Major, they were made in Europe. Ford Motor Company, for a while they made their tractors in Europe, and they called them Fordson Fordson because it was Henry Ford and Son instead of more Ford Motor Company then. So this is a Fordson Major, and in fact, it's a Super Major. The first ones, I think, were called Majors, and then maybe New Major, and then I think there was another one. I think there was about four models, but this one was a Super Major, and they were made from 1945 to 1964. So I was not able to find out why it was called a Major. They were considered a big tractor, a good tractor back then. This one here has been kind of misused. The original equipment, it had a steering wheel, so forth. But so it was considered a big tractor, and maybe that's why they called it a Major. They did make a smaller one called the Dexta. When a person decides to maybe get a college degree, obtain a college education, they choose a major, and then they probably also choose some minor electives, and the minor should enhance the person's study in the field that he is majoring in. If you look up the word major, one of the definitions would be greater in importance, rank, or extent. Greater in importance with minor of less importance. So there are some things that are wrong. We know that there are some things that are wrong, that we don't want any part of them. We have no part in them. Then there are areas that are of value. They are good. But maybe the question comes, should we be majoring in them, or should it be a minor? So I don't know of a tractor that is called minors. But this here is a Ford 8N, and it's a good bit smaller than the Major. And I didn't have a Dexta, so that would have been a little brother to the Major. But anyhow, we'll call that the Minor. It was a popular tractor, also the 8N was. So we'll call it the Minor. But there was a place for it. There is a place for it on many farms. So we have a Major and a Minor. Both are useful. And if a farmer had both, which he could have, depending on the size of his farm, the one did complement the other. So he may have had both. And if he had both, he would have to choose which he would use for different jobs. Would he use the Major or would he use the Minor? So let's move away from tractor talk and ask the question, what are you majoring in? What is most important to you? What do you spend your time and energy on? What do you spend your time thinking about? What dominates your conversation? And we can think back to our former life. We can remember what was important to us. We can look and listen to others, and we can often tell what a person is majoring in. The barbershop is an interesting place for me to study my fellow men, and while waiting to be served, I can draw some conclusions what others are majoring in. Particular barbershop that I go, the barbers, they pretty much major in hunting. It's important to them, fishing. And then there's some that a little while ago, football was important. You could tell that that was a major for some. Let's look at Matthew 6, 25 through 33, this familiar passage. I think we'd like to look at it, though. Matthew 6, 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Probably nobody here in this audience is majoring on football, and probably not any sport for that matter. But I can see that hunting is fairly important to some. Have some grandsons that hunting is fairly important too. But I would encourage you to keep it a minor. I can believe, though, for many of us here this morning, this subject that's addressed right here that we just read puts significant pressure on us. Concern about our ability to provide for ourselves and the ones that we care about, the ones that we're responsible for. We read Cam's newsletters as well as others, and money seems to be a needful commodity in many of the situations. But we should not be majoring on that concern. Minor, yes. Providing for own is important. 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So it is a concern, but it should be a minor. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Might have got ahead of myself there a bit. But let's back up to Luke chapter 10. Let's read Luke 10, 38 through 42. Verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Okay, here we have Martha majoring on serving her guests, and Mary majoring on listening and learning of Jesus. Was Martha all wrong? I don't think so. In fact, showing hospitality is taught in the Word, Romans 12, 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So would it be fair to say that instead of majoring in hospitality, she should have had that as a minor? Keeping our priorities right is another way of saying it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I believe that should be our major concern. John 4, 31 and through 34. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. We are concerned when we get hungry. What will we have for dinner? That's a question that comes to our mind. And possibly for many in the world, the question would be more accurate to say, will we have dinner? Will there be food for me today? But for us here, we don't grapple with that question. But be that as it may, Jesus was not thinking of dinner. He was not thinking of physical hunger here. He was thinking of doing the Father's will and to finish his work. That's quite an example for us. That's a good reason to study the life of Christ, to see what the Father's will was for his Son. So we need to be majoring on seeking what the will of the Father is for us. I think some parts of his will we know, some parts we need to learn and discover as we go along. I think we all face stresses in life when we are unsure what we should do, what is minor and what is major. Maybe they all seem pretty pressing at times. Corrie ten Boom knew that her own ability to understand the ebb and flows of life were limited, but that God is not. She said, O Lord, thank you that your side of the embroidery of our life is always perfect. That is such a comfort when our side is sometimes so mixed up. Maybe sometimes you get the feeling that your life looks like the underside of a piece of embroidered work. But take courage. When we major on following God, the top side will be good. Did I say that God has a plan for your life? Your job is to discover that plan and follow it. Might turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, maybe 9 to 14. Verse 9, And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting the things which are behind. Can we do that? Perhaps many of you have read Pablo Yoder's recent post, Tentacles of 1,000 Octopuses. And I'd like to quote just a little portion from that. For those of you that have not read it, the article describes some individuals in Pablo's acquaintance that once knew the Lord, but have lost their way and are very bitter. Quoting him, if anyone can get close enough to hear either of them out a little, their hearts spew out the many hurts that have accumulated over the years. They are like miniature volcanoes, and the lava is hot. These people are majoring on wrongs that they perceive that have been done to them. Here it's a mistake to major or minor on the past, on these past hurts. But it is a temptation, isn't it, to look at these hurts from time to time that we may have received, to bring them up and look at them. Maybe not major on them, but at least minor. That's not wise. But rather we should do as Paul, major on pressing for the prize, pressing on for the prize, forgetting that which is behind. One commentator wrote this, this one thing I do, this is the concern. This is, as it were, the whole business of my life. Forgetting those things which are behind, I consider my master, my work, and my end. If others think they have time to loiter or trifle, I have none. Time is flying, eternity is at hand, and all is at stake. Reaching forth points out that the strong exertions made in the race, every muscle and nerve is exerted, and he puts forth every particle of his strength in running. He was running for life and running for his life. Can we say the same as Paul? Mark 12, 30 and 31, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Seek to please God first. When we love someone, we seek to please them. So if we love God with all our heart, we will seek to please him first and foremost. Maybe we get the first and second commandment confused at times. But to fulfill the first commandment, we need to seek God's will and wisdom for each day in all matters. When God created man, he created individuals with an array of talents and abilities. It's up to us to use them, use those that have been given to us to bring honor and glory to him. A few quotes. It's impossible to please God doing things motivated and produced by the flesh. You should be more concerned with pleasing God than with pleasing any person on earth, including yourself. Thinking about peer pressure. Positive or negative, there's both. We need to major on being concerned about what God thinks and what he says. Yes, there is a lot of value in what others can contribute to our life's journey. But would it be fair to say that influence from others should be minor compared to the influence of God and his word on my life? So the major influence should be God's will for us, God's word. Minor should be how others influence my life. So let's consider peer pressure a bit. Often we think of youth being affected more by this than older folks, and that may be true, but I believe we're all affected by it. Sometimes maybe we might hear older folks say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I will do thus and so. Well, we need to be careful with that type of response. But peer pressure, negative peer pressure, Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither that shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. The majority is not always right. We saw that in our Sunday school lesson. Everybody else does it. Why can't I? That line is used to put pressure on authority figures to allow certain things. And that reasoning is flawed. The real question is it right? Doesn't matter how many people are doing something. We must be willing to ask, what does God want me to do? If we should consider what other people are doing, is it right? Is it going against the Bible? Or is it following God's word? We can ask the question, would Jesus do it? We should not join in if it is against God's word or if it's something that we know that Jesus would not be involved in. God did make us social beings, and I don't think that he intended that we become so independent and individualistic that we do not have any time for others' ideas and opinions. Like I said, they are important, but we shouldn't be majoring in them. Acceptance in a group can be a healthy, cohesive force. And then I would like to also consider fear and appreciate what was shared already on that this morning. We can ask ourselves, is fear a major or is it a minor in my life? Fear can immobilize, it can lock us down, or it can mobilize us and spur us into action. Sometimes our response to fear keeps us from injury, sometimes it causes injury. How should we deal with fear? 2 Kings 6, verse 15 through 17. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw it, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We love this account here. If we would go on to read the rest of the story, we would also be excited about that. But anyhow, 2 Timothy 1:7, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is the emotional result of facing danger or great difficulty without a sense of protection. Fear is an emotion that we struggle with sometimes. And like discouragement, it keeps us from doing what needs to be done. So we don't want to let fear be a major in our life. When Elisha's servant saw the Syrian army around the city, he was terrified. Alas, my master, how shall we do? That was his cry. The servant could see the danger, but he could not see God's protection. So he was naturally afraid. In the New Testament, Timothy was a young bishop who faced many difficulties as a church leader. And I believe by nature he was timid. Maybe shrank from addressing these problems. Difficulties may expose us, may show us as weak and inadequate. Through difficult situations, sometimes people may turn against us and they may decide that they don't really care for us. And we don't know what all Timothy was dealing with. But Paul often encourages him not to fear. We notice that Elisha did not pray that God would remove the danger of the Syrian army. He only prayed that God would open the eyes of the servant. And when the servant saw the mountains filled with the fiery hosts of the Lord, he realized that he was fully protected in this time of danger. Neither did Paul tell Timothy that God would help him avoid difficulties, but rather he assured Timothy of the indwelling spirit of power that God has given to us. Spiritual hosts of the Lord are unseen. The indwelling spirit is unseen, but we are assured of these spiritual realities only by faith. When by faith we understand God's protection, fear can be turned into confidence. And we view the danger no longer from the standpoint of being unprotected and vulnerable, but from the vantage point of knowing we are surrounded and shielded by the Almighty. I believe that knowledge will also help to dissipate fear. For example, Daryl has a great fear, or a greater fear than I do, when it comes to working around electricity. He does not like live wires. If at all possible, he will turn everything off before he starts working on it. But because I was raised around electrical work, I probably have a bit more knowledge of it than him. And I'm not as fearful of hot wires as he is. So instead of majoring on fearful things in our life, we should be majoring on learning God's promises and how he is in control of all things, and that he is well able to protect his own. You might want to turn to Romans 8. I'd like to read some passage from here. Romans 8, verse 31. But first, maybe I'll read Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, brought through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we have a goal, our hope is to attain that goal. We run the race to win. We plant a crop to harvest it. We work for the reward. We set goals. We live our life with the eternal reward in view. Are we on track? Are we majoring in serving our Lord Jesus Christ? I like these verses. If God be for us, who can be against us? Sounds like the winning side. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? We will not be separated if we major in following God's plan for our life. More than conquerors. In life, sometimes things happen or our experiences, and we say we just made it by the skin of my teeth. Or we just made it with nothing to spare, no extra resources. But we also know how restful it is to get to an appointment or get to church with 5 or 10 minutes to spare before it's time to start, or to have all the bills paid and a little left over. Well, according to this verse, it doesn't have to be, "I barely made it," but "more than conquerors." The provision to attain the crown, the provisions are more than sufficient, made available by Him that loved us. I think we should all say with Paul, it's only our reasonable service to give all to God. To do any other thing is totally unreasonable. So I would encourage each one to major in loving and obeying the Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. The Bible says this you should do and not leave the other undone. There is a place for minors, Luke 11:42. "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." May God give us the wisdom to know what to major in and what to minor in. May the Lord bless.